Praise God. You doing good today? You know, if you missed the opening of the service, God was speaking to me about expectations. You know, how we see ourselves really is what sets our expectations. And if we believe what God says about us rather than what our circumstance, what we look at ourselves, we look at our lack or whatever, we don't measure up. And you start looking at yourself that way, and then you're going to start questioning. And you see, it says this, but I'm this. No, stop that. Don't look at yourself the way things are. See yourself and your circumstances through the eye of faith. Let God's word set your expectations. All right? She's here. Praise God. So there's another injury of the knee. And, but okay, that's good medicine right there. Praise God. But let the word set you. That's your mirror. When you look in the mirror, after you've been in the shower and everything, you get yourself all set up and everything, and you look in the mirror and say, that's acceptable. You know what John G. Lake used to do? He used to look in the mirror and say, God lives in this suit. God lives in this body. God lives in you. He's talking to himself. You have to remind yourself, God lives in you. That is what the word of God says. So you're quoting the word, and that sets your expectations. I'm going to tell you something. We sang about the blood. The blood is close. You look at the blood every single day. I'll tell you what. Do you know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? It talks about when we partake of the elements, we proclaim or we declare, it says we show forth the death of the Lord, right? We show forth his death until he comes. That word show, if you go, it's the word to declare. If you go to Isaiah 43, verse 25 and 26, he says, I am the Lord who forgives all thine iniquities and cleanses all your sins. Let's turn there. I didn't know we were going to do that, but it's coming to me, so you got to go with the flow. Isaiah 43. I'm doing this. Just keep in mind that the blood is closer to you than you know and active all the time. It's a living thing. I am he that blots out your transgressions. Blots them out. He doesn't just cover them. For mine own sake. In other words, God had to come up with something that was more powerful than his memory. The blood is more powerful. It makes him forget your sins. He'll remember them no more. It says, and will not remember your sins. Why would he want to go through all of eternity with a constant reminder of every failure you've ever had, all your sins and everything, everything that put Jesus on the cross? Why would he want to live with it? No. He says, I will remember them. So he came up with the blood to wash them out of his memory. And if they're strong enough to get out of his memory, believe me, they're strong enough to get out of your memory so that you can live with a pure conscience, without a sin consciousness, with a righteousness consciousness. That's where you ought to be walking. That is the tall cotton that God wants you walking in all the time. Walk on that road of righteousness where I am made accepted in him. I have been made accepted. It says that in Ephesians 1. Oh. Then he says in verse 26, remind me. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare though. That word is the same word as show. It means the word show, that we show forth as death till he comes. I know it's Greek and Hebrew, but it means the same thing. You do show forth, you declare his death. He died for me. It's done, legally paid for. Everything's done. Declare thou and let us plead together that you may be justified. Something needs to come out of your mouth, a confession of your faith in that blood. Now, where does that blood, how, you know, I always wondered this. We know this, If you ask an OBGYN where the blood comes from of a fetus, it comes, the blood itself comes from the father. The bloodline is always the man. So the bloodline comes from the father. So how did the blood of the father get into Jesus? Anybody? Kind of. Yes? I heard it. No, Mary didn't. It's not her blood. It's the father's blood. When Gabriel told her what was going to happen, that the Son of God will be conceived in your womb, it was in the word that Gabriel spoke to Mary. Do you know that every time you look into this word, you're looking into the active blood of God washing you, cleansing you, purifying you, reminding you of your acceptance in God, that you are accepted in the Beloved? I don't know about you, but that is an amazing truth. But you need to declare it. Declare it. Believe it in your heart that this is the truth. There's a lot of things that are true, but this is the truth. And the truth changes the things that are true. And the things that are true concerning your circumstances, yes, you sinned. Yes, you did that. But the truth is that has been blotted out forever. God's not even aware of it anymore because he refuses. That blood is powerful enough to wipe his memory clean, along with all of the memory banks in heaven. Just wiped out. Deleted, delete, 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 delete. Gone! Here I am. I don't deserve. What did you say? Okay, I declare that the blood has washed me of all my sins. I declare that for I am justified. I believe in my heart that you did a wonderful work for me, and the blood still speaks to me in your word. Let's go to our weekly confession now. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. When God speaks, the blood washes. When God speaks, creation happens. When God speaks, the past is gone and the future is yours. When God speaks, miracles happen. When God speaks, it is finished. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 7 and verse, we'll go to that in a minute. At the beginning of the series, we talked about there's a shift that is happening. Remember that? Three of you. There's another nod. Do you remember that? There's a shift that is happening. That was on September 7th. 3 days later, a shift began that the world can't stop. 3 days later, Charlie was assassinated. Within a week, Turning Point USA received 50,000 applications for new, what do they call them, chapters to open up in this colleges. 50,000. That means this is like an immediate harvest. A seed put in the ground, Charlie Kirk, put in the ground, will bring forth much fruit. I'm telling you, Charlie's assassination hit me right in the gut. I don't know about you, and I can only imagine how the father felt about it. But one thing I know is when Jesus went to the cross, he put a mature ministry right there for God to raise up, and he placed it in the hands of 12 men who really didn't know their right hand from their left. I'm telling you, you can read it in the Gospels yourself. They did not, 3.5 years, walking with him, amazed by him and everything. And Jesus said, and he tells them about the Holy Spirit. He says, you know what I've done? You'll do, and more than that. And they're going, huh? But then, 50 days after Jesus died, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And Peter said, this is that. This is that. And 2,000 men got saved. A few days later, 3,000 more, and a great portion of the priesthood came in line too. And so don't think that Charlie Kirk's death is the end of Turning Point or the end of our college, our voice in the colleges. It's just beginning. It's just beginning. Praise God. The shift is going on. Revival is going on. Reformation in this nation is going on. You know, even before Trump assumed office, there was a shift coming to common sense. That's been the big buzz phrase. Common sense. Because, I mean, if you got a Supreme Court justice that doesn't know or will not say what the difference is between a man and a woman, you got a problem at the top. You got a problem of those who are approving or disapproving what is or what is not constitutional. Do you think she'll ever change her mind? Well, God can do wonders. God can do miracles. Keep on praying for Ketanji. What's her name? Ketanji Jackson. Keep praying for her. You know, the conviction of the Holy Spirit can open you up like, and you feel this small and naked before God. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is that powerful that would just drive her right into that court and say, I was wrong. Believe it, because it can happen. It will happen if we pray. Okay, we're talking today about ready to act, being ready and staying ready, ready to act. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said it this way. He said, you know, the book of Acts was written because the apostles acted. They didn't just say, oh, that's nice. You know, I see these guys on TV and they'll tell you all about the Bible and the Word, the way it connects and everything. And they leave you there with it. Well, what good is that? How do you implement that? How do you go forward? What is it, you know, what does that do for you? Just knowing. No, acting on the Word of God is what brings it to life in your life. It brings it to life. Acting on the Word of God, when you become a doer, this is why James says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, otherwise you walk in deception. God wants us to walk in the power of that truth, and that truth comes alive when you start to act on it. Can I share about your recent visit to the... Okay. Got a call, what, it was a Tuesday, I think. A text from Brian says he's in the hospital. And was that Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday. And his mom sent us a message and everything and just said, hey, so I'm meeting Dave. I think we met on Wednesday. Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday, right. Mm-hmm. Had a Biden moment. What can I tell you? We shouldn't laugh at that. We really shouldn't. We shouldn't laugh. But when somebody puts himself out there, you know, who shouldn't be, and he knows it, and he can't run the country anyway, he should be there. But yeah, he right, speak life. That's right. Phil, you want to come up?
Don't want you confessing anything.
So we go over. Dave Palke and I were meeting at Panera, and then we met up. And so we went down to St. Joe's, to Brian's room, and we fellowshiped a little, we prayed over him and everything. The next morning I sent a text, say, what's a good word? And he said, everything's gone, you know, the blockage, it was a bowel obstruction, painful stuff. And so he says, well, it's gone. And I said, well, what was it? He said, they didn't know. All they know is it's gone. So, look, and others were praying. Our prayer team was praying for Brian. And so when prayer goes up, I want you to know something. God is ready, if you're ready. He has everything in place. He's just waiting for your prayer. He's waiting for your confession of faith. He's waiting for you to act on the word of God for the floodgates to open. That's all he's waiting for. We can't get any glory out of that. You know, this cracks me up when people, somebody comes to church and they finally got saved and everything, and then somebody takes credit for it and they say, yeah, we prayed him through. As if. You can't, just do yourself a favor. Don't take credit for somebody's salvation. There were so many different parts to that thing. Maybe you're a part of it and you're glad to be a part of it. That's fine. Just say, praise God. God was good to us. But when you start taking credit for something, that's wrong. It's wrong. What about Jesus who died for him? Yeah. What about the people who witnessed to him? What about the evangelists he may have seen on TV or something? What about all those things that God used to finally get through the crust of that mind to get him open enough to receive Christ into his heart? Anyhow. There's a lot of moving parts to this. So turn with me to John chapter 7. Are you there yet?
Yeah.
And I want us to look at verse 17. Are you ready? Are you ready to be doing what God said to do? It said this. In John 7:17, he said, if any man will do his will, he will know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. This is one of those times that the Pharisees were coming before him and say, you're speaking of your own authority. What gives you authority to say these things or do these things? Da, 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 da. And just, you know, The Pharisees. And here's the thing about the Pharisees, too. You know, the Pharisaical order started in the intertestamental time when there's like 400 years of silence from God, from Malachi to Matthew. And the Pharisaic order came about 200 B.C. They wanted to keep the integrity of the law and preserve the laws of life in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and to preserve those. And what happened was they formed another sect was formed called the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees don't believe in anything spiritual. They don't believe in eternal life. The body is, they're like modern day Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, hell is the grave and all that. They don't believe in anything after. No angels, nothing. They're all natural. And the Pharisees believed in spirits. They believed in angels. They believed in Sheol and heaven and hell and redemption and so forth. But you see, what happened is, and you can, if you go into the reading of the rabbis and so forth, and you also go into, like Josephus, you'll know that most of the high priests in Jerusalem were Sadducees. So what happens, you get these Pharisees who are spiritual, they give way and allow basically the atheists to rule them. It's a real parable concerning our flesh, concerning us Christians. When we allow our natural circumstances to rule us, what happens? Corruption. Corruption happens. Jesus comes on the scene and he starts saying, so they're protecting their turf, saying, you're not of God. You're just saying this on your own accord. You're not doing this. So Jesus said, you know what? If you're willing to do his will, then you'll know. You'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You will know that my teaching, it's either that you'll know the difference between what's a man and what's of God. Look at the Amplified here for a minute. Amplified says this: if any man desires to do his will, God's pleasure, he will know and he'll have the needed illumination to recognize. So we're getting into a spiritual illumination, revelation knowledge, to recognize and can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking it from myself and of my own accord and on my own authority. Now you got to read between the lines here too. What's he saying to them? He's saying, if you knew the will of God, you'd know that I'm he. But you're not willing to do the will of God. You're just protecting your own turf. And there's a lot of times that we're guilty of the same thing, so we can't really throw rocks at them, right? You need to let go of that. Let God be your protector. Let God be your shield. David is so strong because he let God be his shield. He let God be his protector. And you know what? You have something a lot more going for you than David ever did. And look how merciful God was with David. You think just because of the new covenant that you should be something? No. You have the best covenant ever ratified in the history of the world. God, let me get back into this. I want us to look at the NIV of this. The NIV says this. This is the non-inspired version. No, I'm sorry. That's
Nearly inspired.
Okay. That's because they cut certain parts out, like the supernatural parts. And so there's been a lot of discussion about that. In fact, Andrew Womack was in a meeting one time, and he said, wait a second, it doesn't say that? Let me see your Bible. And he looked at it, and they're in the book of Acts where the angel touches the water, and it's not even there in the NIV. They cut that out. So he says, somebody get this guy a Bible. But you know what? It's accepted as an authorized translation. So we see there's people messing at the top of what they call inspired and what's not. But anyhow, look at what it says here. This is the same thing. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak of my own. He's leaving it up to them. The works that I do, he said, the Father in me, he does the works. They speak of me. The works speak of me. He said, if you don't believe on me, at least believe for the work's sake so that you might be saved. He still wanted them to be saved. They were filled with ridicule. They were everything. Accusing him. See, this is what guilty people do. They'll just accuse. This is what the devil does. He is the accuser. Don't join his team. Don't accuse people. Don't judge people. Lest you... So if you made a predetermined commitment to do the will of God and to be a doer of his will, which is his word. His will is his word. Word, you will find out. He said, you'll find out whether my teaching is of man or whether it comes from God or whether I speak of my own. When you're meditating on the word, and let's say something comes to you, and you say, yeah, that I could do that. God is telling you to do something. When the word of God comes to you, have you already predetermined? Have you already chosen? See, here's the caveat. You got to choose to do his will before he asks you to do something for him. He says, will you do this for me, something for me? And you say, what is it? Will you do it? Yeah, just tell me what it is. Okay, you say, that's the wrong answer. You can't come to the Lord and say, he asks you to do something. You say, will you do this for me? Will you do something for me? And you say, well, tell me what it is, and then I'll decide. Sorry, unacceptable. He won't even play that mess? Well, here's the proper answer. Yes, and mean it. Gladly. I mean, what hasn't he done for you? He got you away from hell. Are you ready? Have you chosen? Have you made a predetermined choice that you're going to do what he says to do? Because when you do, it will become the greatest thing that you've ever done. Because you are operating in the will of God. You know, there are times when the disciples were following Jesus' advice. They said, get in the ship, I'll join you later. Well, a storm comes. They're right in the middle of God's will. Jesus said to do this. They're right in the middle of God's will, and yet a storm comes. When you start doing the word of God, when you start to do the will of God, when you've made that choice to do the will of God, you are going to get opposition. But the opposition, if they can knock the peace of God out of you, if that opposition can force you to fear instead of act in faith, guess what? Your boat's going to fill with water. Jesus came walking to them on the water, and he got and Peter said, "Now here's the thing, their boat is starting to fill with water. They're out there, and then they see Jesus. They get all scared. And he said, "Don't fear, it's me." Now, think of how captivated they were with this, because here they are in a boat that's going to sink. And Jesus is standing there. And all Peter is thinking like, well, if you can do that, I can do that. That's the kind of relationship you need with Jesus. If you see him doing something like he did in the Word, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever he did in the Word, you can do. It says so. John 14:12. So you don't have to be scared. If you're doing God's will, if you're doing God's will, Paul encountered all kinds of hazards, didn't he? All kinds of hardships. In fact, you will never have the kind of hardship that he had. I can't even fathom him. I mean, a day and a night in the deep, floating on a piece of wood, not knowing if the sharks are going to get him or whatever. Here he is. He got a snake that comes out of, you know, out of the wood that he's collecting for the fire, and he just shakes him off in the fire. Don't lose your peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Peace I give unto you. My peace. So, and we talked about this last week. Why did he give you that peace? Anybody? First of all, so you can let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me. Okay? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give to you. You take that peace and rule over your own heart, your own mind. Let the peace of God rule your heart and mind, it says, so that you can bring it in. Anytime, because the thing is, the biggest problem with being ready to do God's will is knowing that there will be opposition. Paul knew wherever he went. And then they sold him in Ephesus. They were outside of Ephesus, but the elders from Ephesus were meeting with Paul, and he's saying, listen, I'm going to Jerusalem. You're not going to see my face ever again. And they started to cry and weep. And he says, what mean you to weep and break my heart? I'm not only willing to go to Jerusalem and be bound, but to die for Jesus. Giving up your own will, giving up your own way, giving up your own, you know, this isn't really a popular message, is it? This isn't going to crowd the theaters. It's not going to load the stadiums up. But it will load your life with the most perfect peace and the most wonderful rewards at the end of this. Look at this. it says, where is that? Let me go back a little further. Well, apparently it's being camouflaged here. Oh, yeah. Titus 3:1, it says you're to be ready for every good work. Every good work. This is why you load up on the Word so that you're equipped with every good work. Remember the Word? You're loading up on the Word. What are you loading up with? The blood that God honors. This whole thing goes together in such a beautiful way. It's like when you're acting on the Word, the blood starts to activate. Grace is released. Mercy is released. Love is justified. Everything is perfect when you start acting on the Word. That is His will. The Word of God is the will of God. I mean, God cannot lie. So if He speaks something, that has to be His will. If He says it in His Word, it's His will. Do I have to convince you that, or anybody confused on that? Okay. His Word is His will. It always will be. It always has been. It will never change. Then the question comes up is because there's a lot of Christians who are predisposed to the fact that we can never really know God's will. Huge part of the church. Probably 70% of the church believes that, you know, He is so high and so lofty and so up there that, you know, it's really impossible to know His will. Well, let me ask you this. Why did He give us the Word if He didn't want us to know His will? Right. Ephesians 5. Let's go there, Stephen. Redeeming the time. Is this a time that we need to make up for lost time? Is this a time nowadays? I mean, we just had 4 years of absolute hell on earth here, unleashed. We need to catch up. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Are the days we're living in evil? Therefore, be not unwise. In other words, don't be a fool. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Why would He say that in the Word if you couldn't understand it? If it was so high and lofty and lifted up in the mysterious God. The devil will convince you this too. You can't know God's will. You see, that may be for some others, but not for you. See, you're a special case. That's not for you. You know, He may heal others, but you see, you've got this past behind you. No, the blood wiped out your entire past. The Word, get buried in the Word and let the blood start to release and wash and wash and cleanse you and show you who you really are. The blood. The blood. Boy, that's a good song, Phil. You should sing that every week just to remind ourselves the blood has done it, man. Redeeming the time. This is how you redeem the time. Stay in the Word. Let the Lord reveal His will to you in that situation and just do it. Praise God. Is this, turn with me to Psalm 62. This is where you have to start speaking to yourself. You remember in Psalm 103, He said, "Rejoice in the Lord, O my soul." Remember that? Who's He talking to? Who's David talking to? Himself, his soul. He's saying, he's talking his soul. He said, don't you dare forget one of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And it all begins with your mouth. It all begins with saying what God says about you. That's what the word confession means. It's homo logeo. That's what it means. Saying the same thing as. That's what confession is. And you're saying the same thing about you and your situation and your body and your mind as God says. So David is not just going, oh, rejoice in the Lord, oh my soul. No, he's commanding his soul to understand something. Why would he say that? He's obviously... That's Psalm 103. Back in Psalm 51, he repented of his adultery and his murder. But he's still probably feeling guilty about it. And so he says, rejoice in the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me. Bless His holy name who forgives all your iniquities. He's reminding himself that he's been purged of that. He's reminding himself that he's been cleansed of that. And he says, my soul. Whoa, horse. Wait only for God. For my expectation is from Him. Who Him? God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So all my expectation is from the Word of God. He only is my rock and salve. That Word of God is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to look to the left. I'm not going to look to the right. I'm just going to do what He says to do. That is not hard. The way of the sinner is hard. When you do everything you want to do, and it's going to bring hard. It's not hard to do God's will. The devil will say, oh, not you. You can't do that. Just think what they'll say about you. Just think about your friends and, you know. What? Think about them? Think about this? Think about a heart? No, I'm going to do God's will, and those things will have to step aside.
That's right.
And you know what? There's a reward at the end of it. There, that's what I was getting at. I wanted to bring that scripture out, and I don't see it here. I think it's Proverbs, but I get it. But obedience, what did Isaiah say? He said, if you be willing. What did Jesus say? If you're willing to do His will, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That means you'll enjoy the best of the land. You'll enjoy the very best. If you be willing and obedient. You shall, it's Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient. There's rewards for doing God's will and being obedient to His word. Say this, I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. I hear Him. He leads me. And I follow Him. The voice of a stranger, I will not follow. I know His voice. I hear His voice. He leads me, and I follow Him. And the voice of a stranger, I will not follow. You know, there's a, have you ever heard of a bummer lamb? You know what a bummer lamb is? It's a bummer, man. It's a bummer. Every summer. Let me get this little story up here. Well, what happens is, sometimes, it's rare, but it happens, a ewe sheep will have a calf, I guess they're calves, sheep, lamb, will have a lamb, and once in a while, they'll reject the lamb. They won't feed it, nothing. They'll even kick it to hurt it and get it away. Well, the shepherd comes along, and he wraps it up, and he brings it. He nurses it, gives it milk, gives it food, and nurses it, and so forth. And then when it's strong enough, he'll put it back in the herd. And when the shepherd calls the sheep, that's a bummer lamb, by the way. That's what they call a bummer lamb, the one who's rejected. But then when he calls the sheep, you know who the first one to come is? The bummer lamb, because he's grateful for all that the shepherd did for him. When he was rejected, he was accepted by the shepherd, and he nursed him to health. That's what God wants to do with us. So you can't get yourself, by following God's will, you can't get yourself in a place that's so bad that He can't help you. I mean, there is persecution, and there's that. But let's say you're persecuted unto death. Well, the best thing in the world is there's Jesus. And you can run to Him. I saw online there was something when Charlie Kirk was on the platform where he was killed. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden he sees a light, and he starts running up these stairs to Jesus.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, you seen that? Yes. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful. Praise God. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Open your mouth. You know, the Psalm 91 depends on that. I will say of the Lord, he is my... And it goes down, you will say this, say this, say this, say this. But you're not the one saying it. All you say is at the beginning of that. In fact, Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what this is about, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty in a secret place. Then, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. That's all you say. Then your high priest, Jesus, your intercessor, Jesus, picks up the rest and says, surely he, my Father, will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Under his wing. And this is a perfect picture of you, the intercessory ministry of Jesus, and then the Father comes. All because you said, I will trust in the Lord. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I trust. Boom. Then, in verse 14, the Father has something to say. And he says this, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will be him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. In other words, I'll put you over your situation. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is what Hebrews chapter 3 says in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3. Paul picks this up. And he really does it brilliantly. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession. Christ Jesus. Consider him. He's there speaking for you. He's speaking to the Father on your behalf. And the Father says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore, will I deliver him? I'll be with him. Your confession activates Jesus. Because in your confession, when you confess his word before him, it doesn't return void. It is filled with the blood that he honors. It is filled with the life substance of who God is. And he recognizes it immediately. And he jumps up and says, yeah, I'm covenanted that. And he says, yeah. And this is coming from my own son. Yes, it is. And that son and that son and that son is all coming through Jesus right here. He cannot not help you. Are you ready? Are you ready to be ready and to stay ready when you hear God's word to say, yes, I'm going to do it. What is it? Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. You've done more for me than I could ever do for myself. And if this takes me out of the world, I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. I hope you got something out of this today. I did. I got it. Oh, Jesus. Don't ever let the devil talk you into the fact that you can't do that. You'll lose out. No. God didn't promise that to you, did he? And you don't listen to the voice of a stranger. Who told you were naked? Who told you were broke? Who told you were sick? Who told you had no ability? Who told you that? Who told you? That's coming from the garden, man, in the devil's camp. That's not coming from God's camp. He says, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, Father, we delight to do your will, oh God. Thank you that we will go forth from this place hungry and just to champion your will and to be a part of everything that you're doing in these end times, that we have the privilege of rising up above those that oppose, because you exalt us up and over all of it. We thank you, Father, for the fact that we have jobs that we can put our hand to, but Lord, we work for you. And Lord, if we are called upon by you to witness some people at work and to stick out like a sore thumb, Lord, you'll make us a burning fire. You'll make your ministers a flame of fire. You'll make me that way to them. And I will draw them to you. And if I have to go get another job after being fired, that's fine. I'll just lead you. You will lead me into the pastures and the still waters that I need, because you are a supplier of all my needs. You are El Shaddai. The God is more than enough, and you've given me more than I'll ever need. Thank you, Father. So we depart from this place blessed, happy, full, equipped, and knowing that you've got it. You've got our future, and we'll do your word. Amen.